Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the designer, Courtney Cronin, we got to react to everything that we got to see today at OTAs. And there was some stuff to take away from today. I mean, everybody's talking about the struggles that Caleb Williams had, but I may have a little bit of a different perspective on that. We got to get Courtney Cronin's perspective on that. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Appreciate you guys for showing love. Courtney, after our day in traffic, how are you?
I listened to Euphoria on my way down, like back downtown, and I like changed all of the words to reflect all of the things I hate about the Kennedy. And I don't know who was like driving around, like looking at me. Like people are probably like, wow, this crazy bitch is just like out of control right now. But that's how I feel. I'm sunburned. And then it took me an hour and 40 minutes to get home. But other than that, everything's great. We saw some football today.
We saw some football. And I will say this, we saw some actual football. I left today, and I don't know if you felt this way, Courtney. That was a very kind of like the beginning of practice was very kind of nonchalant, calm, blah, blah, blah. But at 7-on-7, and then when we got that last, you know, maybe 15 minutes of practice, it seemed like it ramped up a little bit. It seemed like it was a little bit more of a aggressive practice than we've seen.
I mean, this is OTAs.
Like, yes,
this is their first 3 days that they've been on grass. Like before that, they've been doing, you know, the workout portion when they're in doing the strength and conditioning. And of course, at the last time we would have seen football, if you want to even call it that, because they're in shorts and a t-shirt, was back at rookie mini camp 2 weeks ago. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it felt more like a real football practice because A, you had, you know, the majority of the 90-man roster out there and you had team period and you also had the 7-on-7. So I thought that was, you know, it's a nice change of pace. It just shows you that everything is trending towards football's here in what, 50 something days? They're back in training camp, but that's nuts. But I, you know, to your point of it feeling a little bit more intense, I mean, I know that like the last couple of years, the Bears have almost had to like pull back on the intensity. We all remember the OTA that they got docked in 2022 because they were too physical, but you know, they take these practices seriously. I think that that's something, you know, what Matt Eberflus, like, you know, he's really proud of the attendance that they have. Like, that's not something that around the league is always the case. And yeah, there were a couple vets today missing that I think they would certainly want there. And, you know, mandatory minicamp will determine a lot of things and who shows up. I mean, that those paychecks and those workout bonuses and getting fined is not fun. But
I love how honest DJ was.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing here? 200K.
Yeah, that's some people's salary for a year. So thanks, DJ. I would be there too. But no, I mean, it was, you just start to stack the pieces of what this team's going to look like. You can't take away is the offense ahead of the defense ahead of the offense, other than what you see in a vacuum.
Yeah.
But I look at this situation with Caleb Williams and the big story today. Oh my God, he struggled. Oh my God, the red zone offense did not look good. And I just caution people, if you're listening right now, if you're going to be reacting to this all throughout Friday, when this is what we're going to be talking about on 1000, it's May. It's May 23rd, Pat. It's not even Memorial Day. Like, there's going to be ups and downs naturally when you have an offense that's brand new with a brand new rookie quarterback and a defense that's been together for 3 seasons already. So, like, that's kind of, like, how I view it and how I've thought about it the last couple of hours. But you know, there's always things to take away, especially when you do get to see Caleb Williams and what that command looks like and how he's operating with his teammates getting in and out of the huddle. So, I mean, I can appreciate it for that.
No. Yeah. And I took it. See, it's so funny because everybody instantly leaves and they're like, oh my God, this is he looked horrible. He wasn't able to make the play. I want to add some context to what we actually saw today. If we're talking about this from a football perspective, like you said, it's May, it's OTAs. Nobody's taking this to the point where it is, you know, like the season's over that Caleb Williams struggled today. But there weren't a ton of lanes open because of how good the defense was. There weren't a ton of open looks because of how good the defense was. We don't know how many times Caleb Williams would have taken off and used his legs in a real game situation because they're not going to let him use his legs today. So, yes, Caleb Williams did struggle. There were some throws there. I think I counted two that to me should have been picked off, one for sure by Jalen Johnson on one end, and I think it might have been Tyreek on the other side. But the big thing for me with all of this was, we then hear in the press conference, well, they won on Monday. Mm-hmm. And now, right, we get them back today. It's a back and forth. The rookie probably came in with a little bit of confidence, a little bit of swagger. The defense turned up the intensity. To me, it felt like there was an intensity turn up today. And I think that that's going to make, and Kevin Byard talked about this in the presser as well, that's going to make Caleb and this offense better, because it's not you going up against, you know, a willy-nilly defense. This is a defense that can get after the best offenses in the NFL.
And that's ultimately, like, when you talk about, like, the whole iron sharpening iron, I think that's exactly what the Bears just tweeted. And I know it's kind of it's a cliche term that you hear, but I think Kevin Byard put it best when he said that, you know, we're going to get you better. Like, that's, you would expect that. Like, this defense, and yeah, I see one of the comments there, three seasons, it's been one. It's the same system for three seasons.
Yeah.
Same system since 2022 all the way until today. So, yeah, like, the defense has been together for a while. I honestly think you'd be pretty concerned if the offense was tearing apart the defense right now, right? Like, that, wouldn't that seem like a major anomaly of, wow, Matt Eberflus, defensive head coach, defense has been the backbone of this team for the last couple of years. His defense is getting torched. Like, you'd be really concerned about that today if the shoe was on the other foot. But I do think for Caleb Williams, the learning experience that he's had throughout this week, again, he's had three of these, three practices, Monday, it was Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday.
Yeah.
Like, three real, and I use real with air quotes because they're still in shorts and t-shirts, three real practices against NFL level talent. And what Matt Eberflus said, yeah, you're going up against a pretty good defense. Like, putting that into perspective, I wouldn't expect for anybody, whether you're the number one overall pick or you're, you know, number pick 257, to have any sort of success right off the bat on a consistent basis. What we heard from Kevin Byard is, yeah, the offense got one on them day one, and today they kind of return the favor. You know, what's great about football, it's a team game. So, like, all of those things that, like, they can take away right now about the offense winning a day, the defense winning a day, same narrative is going to continue on into training camp. Same narrative is going to continue on throughout the next couple of months into the season. And there will probably be moments where the offense can, if you have a good team, the offense can carry your defense on certain days and vice versa on other game days. That's ultimately, I think, their goal to get there. So we'll see if they do. But again, with Caleb Williams, like, going against this defense is probably going to be the best teaching tool that he has the next couple of weeks before he ends up, you know, going away for summertime and then coming back for training camp.
Let me ask you this. Is this a feather kind of in the favor of the Bears, even going through this season, right? Because you talk about going through training camp, going through the preseason. If you get to week one, and the offense is 75-80% clicking at that point, right? To me, at least what we saw today, it feels like the defense knows this defense like the back of its hand. I thought, you know, when you looked at Jervon Dexter, he was more active today. Now, you can't take a lot from guys on the line from today because there's no pads, so there's not a lot to take from. But it looked like everybody knew where they were supposed to be, and I think that that's the best thing for this Bears team to start the season.
That's the cohesion that you have for this defense, like specifically the defense who's been together now, you know, majority of that unit. And yeah, they were missing Montez Sweat today. They're missing, I think, Jalen Jones, like a couple bigger names on offense versus defense.
But Darnell Wright missing, Nate Davis, Valus Jones, Keenan Allen, all missing.
But like on the defensive side of the ball, like, look at that secondary. And that was a big talking point after practice today, just about the cohesion in that back seven, where you've shored up, you know, you shored up the safety position with somebody who wants to play up in the box, somebody who wants to play deep on the deep third of the field. Like, that's, I think that they're in a really good spot where they've gotten the kinks out of the way the last 2 years to figure out what does this unit personnel wise need to look like. Okay, they went out and they got the right players, and now they're not starting from scratch. They're not having to teach, like, you know, Tyreek Stevenson, for example, last year, and even to a degree Terrell Smith. Those vets had to bring him along and, you know, help him conquer that learning curve. Now you have a unit that has at least everybody together, 1 year of experience.
Yeah.
And you can start at a different level when you get the group together in the off season. And that's a benefit to this team that they've been building towards, to where you don't have this constant turnover at positions. And I would imagine that Matt Eberflus is feeling pretty good, like going into the weekend and then going back into OTAs next week, of where things stand with his defense. It's just, again, hard to gauge all of it. And I'm really curious to see how they're going to be able to gauge, hey, what does this pass rush need? Because for the next couple of weeks, really until they start putting pads on at camp, and even then it's still difficult because you can't hit the quarterback. Yeah. But, you know, how they're going to be able to gauge what they need from that unit still, and what they're going to do to go after shoring up some of their biggest weaknesses that still remain on that defensive side of the ball.
To ease Bears fans' minds, right, because there's a lot of Bears fans who are going to go into Memorial Day weekend in a full tizzy. I think the one thing that really stood out to me, though, that Flus talked about and that he's been surprised about, and I thought that this was a really good point, was how quickly Caleb is picking up the offense and putting it into execution. Speak to that about, you know, kind of where Flus is at on, you know, how Caleb is really taking command of things in Hallis Hall and eventually on this Bears team as a whole.
I doing it in like a segmented way where he's able to see, okay, what did we teach him one day? Is he remembering like the recall, all of those things that he said that like he was really impressed with? How is he taking that from the classroom to the field? And then when there are mistakes, can he correct some of those? And one thing I noticed today that like I was like keeping an eye on him specifically, especially when like the twos and the threes, I mean, there's 90 people out there. So yeah. Like, you know, all of the units, not named the first team offense.
When you get three 26s, yeah. You're like, who the heck's 26 and 26?
But I was watching Caleb go up to Shane Waldron, kind of like peeking over on, he had like the little walkie talkie and, you know, Caleb, and he's talking into it, and Caleb's looking over onto the play sheet and very clearly like scanning something. He'd wait to like, you know, if his coach isn't in the middle of like asking something, he'd ask him like, right. And I would imagine a lot of that in the red zone is about the execution of what did I not see there? Where should I have gone? What was the breakdown in the play and communication, anything like that? Because there were several times where it's incompletions, he's overthrowing guys in the back of the, you know, back of the end zone. You mentioned it, a lot of plays where those would be sacks. And under more normal circumstances, again, this is somebody who has that Houdini act mastered, at least we've seen at the college level. So how that translates to, I think it's going to be difficult for the Bears to figure out what's a sack, what's not, just because of his mobility. But the teaching element of like, are you retaining the information? Because one thing he told us, Flus told us, is that they're not holding back anything. Like there's going to be bits and pieces, of course, that you wait until training camp to unleash. And again, I'll keep reminding people of this. The offense that they're running right now, everything are base plays. These are not trick plays. Yeah. These are just like the absolute base foundational elements of this team. Most times the defense will have the script of what the offense is going to run out there. So like, it just kind of depends how the head coach wants to handle that. Offensive head coaches are, you know, typically don't want to do that. But a defensive head coach is probably going to get the plays from his offensive coordinator, and they will know what's coming. It's a little different when you're in a game, and certainly like later on in the off season, when you're trying to game plan for an opponent. They're nowhere near that phase right now. Right now, it's just like learning the basics of what this scheme is going to look like. And for Caleb Williams to be right where they expected him to be with how much they're throwing at him, that's a good sign that you have a smart player back there, which again, like it's not like this monumental takeaway. Of course, he like the reason that like they felt so good about him is because of his ability to retain information going into rookie minicamp, when he was doing so much of the fundamental work on footwork and on, you know, what the route tree looks like and, you know, verbiage, all of the things he has to remember. Like this is, they're throwing a lot at him. And it seems like, at least from what we've heard, that, you know, players know and are cognizant of the growing pains. And when you can like plan and prepare for those, I think it makes the days like this still sting, but know that like, it's, you know, okay, this is part of the process that they have to go through in order to get to the next phase of what they need to learn.
Was there anybody who stood out to you today? I mean, it's really our first time. It's our only time at OTAs to this point, getting eyes on these guys. Is there anybody that stood out to you today, not named, you know, Caleb Williams and or I guess Jalen Johnson for today, because Montez Sweat wasn't out there?
Mm-hmm. again, like what I keep saying that I keep deferring back to this because it is OTAs. Yeah. I'd say probably Jervon Dexter to a degree. I don't know if he stood out. I mean, it's a massive individual, but what we did hear from Flus is just how his body composition changed.
Oh, yeah.
And we won't really get a chance to see that until you get up close to, I mean, but you can kind of, you can see like where
he looked leaner.
Yeah. Like, you know, and I'm curious from him, like how much weight did you lose? How much of that was converted to muscle? Like what was there a conscious, obviously there was a conscious plan to go about this. How did you go about this? The off-season transition these guys go through is stunning because it's your job to your body's basically your job.
Yeah.
Like it's the basis of your job. So to go all in a matter of a couple months and change the composition of what your body is made up of and what it looks like, that's really cool. So hearing from Eric Washington about how he expects Dexter to have a pretty significant role in the interior of that defense, that's going to make me want to continue to watch him at practice and see where are they playing him? Because I know for the three technique right now, like, you know, he's going to have a massive shoes to fill. I know it doesn't probably seem massive because Justin Jones and his impact on this team, like it wasn't enough for them to want to bring him back as a free agent. And he's an above average defensive tackle, but with Jervon Dexter now primed for a really nice opportunity to take over, how does he respond to that? We'll see in the coming weeks, I guess, like, you know, when they put pads on. So it's 2 months from now, more or less, a little over that, how he looks. Like, what does that get off look like? Where, like, how aggressive is he at pushing and denting the pocket? That's something you can't take away right now. But it is, you know, to hear the positive remarks about him and how they view his role in this defense and what his opportunity is, like, that should be a fast riser if all goes according to plan for him.
I'm not gonna lie to you, and again, right, like I don't know how much you can take, especially on the line when there's no pads, there's no or there's nothing to push off of. But if there was anything that I took from Jervon, it was that, and I did kind of focus in on him, he looked more comfortable with a penetrating style defense. Again, no center, no pads to push off of, but I thought his get off was like, okay, I know where I'm going. It's a base style. It's just me trying to figure it out, but I know what I need to be do. I'm not thinking about it. I felt a lot last year in OTAs, of course, rookie OTAs for him, and mini camp and training camp and stuff like that. We saw him like, oh snap, this isn't a two gap system anymore. I gotta get back to that. I gotta go back to penetrating style. And it just, the fact that we're starting here and it doesn't seem like he's hesitating, I think that shows growth in a young man who we saw, it took a while for him to get there, but we did see development in him last season.
When you don't have to think before doing as much, and imagine how much was thrown at him as a rookie. And yeah, they used a second round pick on him. They clearly see the potential and want him to be a big part of this defense. But there was a big growing, like everybody's learning curve's different. Everybody's growing pains are, you know, they vary in size, and his were pretty significant early on. To now, if you're not thinking as much out there, you can play faster. And I know that kind of sounds obvious, but imagine what that's like when you have all that information coming at you and you've got to know, you know, what your assignment is, what gap you're supposed to be in, gap technique, like playing the run versus playing the pass. Are you biting on play action? Like, does that end up like making the rest of the defense vulnerable? Like knowing different styles of quarterbacks and going against a quarterback like Caleb, I thought Eric Washington had a really like good, really like insightful thing to say. Like they practice those, like, the mobile quarterback drills, because that's going to, like, think about how many quarterbacks are going to have that capability.
Yeah.
To take off and make plays like with
just in the first 9 weeks.
Yeah, like look at all the quarterbacks: Anthony Richardson, there's Kyler Murray, C.J. Stroud,
Daniels.
Yeah, Bryce Young. Like Bryce there's Young, a lot of that. So, you know, for a young guy like Jervon Dexter to already show at least put off the appearance that he's more comfortable and knows what his job is. It sounds simple, but this is a very complex game in line play when you're worried about stunts and different twists and things like that. Like that takes a long time to master.
Yeah. And I think that it's seeing him continue that, maybe that's where my excitement comes from seeing the defense today, is there's that fear kind of what we saw last season. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that we're seeing that, at least to this point. Last season starting off, right, even in OTAs, even in training camp, it kind of felt like, all right, maybe they took a little step back here. Like, hold on now. We're supposed to be starting off on the right foot here. And I know it's early. I know, but like, seeing the defense get after it the way that they did today, it didn't feel like you were going to be dealing with a defense that was going to be taking a step back. It felt like you were going to be dealing with a defense that, again, knows its identity, knows what it wants to do, knows the standard that it needs to play at, and will have the ability to do that. So very excited to see that. I love how Eric Washington described when he said there was a saltiness to him a little bit. Mm-hmm. It was a little, there may be a little bit of salt in the wound after apparently the rookie got to him on the first day.
And imagine if you're Caleb Williams, and look, like, the guy's dealt with competition. He's a competitor. He's number one overall pick. But I thought what DJ Moore said about having to, emphasize to him the facts are your rookie quarterback, the entire offense is learning, like all of us, the entire unit's learning this offense. It's not just you. We're all learning it. Yeah. Like, is he the one who's delivering the passes that may not have gone anywhere today? Sure. But it's on everybody, because not that I think it would break somebody, but like, I would imagine when you've got those dudes who have all been together for a couple of years, and especially how aggressive that secondary is and how much trash talking there is out there. And you've got Jaquan Brisker, who is never shy of showing emotion out there, and Jalen Johnson,
I love
too.
Brisk.
They're having a lot of fun with that, but I can imagine that can be pretty demoralizing if you feel like you're playing like crap out there.
Yeah.
So for DJ to step in as an seven, eight-year veteran now to like go tell his quarterback, chill, like we're fine. Like, yeah, it sucks that we didn't execute that there down the red zone. Obviously, they know that they have to score when they're down there, but it's not the end of the world. Is why we can have nice things and talk about things in perspective. And yeah. I really thought that was probably among my biggest takeaways, where even for the best competitors and guys who have played at the highest level, won the Heisman Trophy, you still sometimes need that little bit of emphasis just to kind of get through it. And, what Kevin Byard went up to, what he said when he went up to Caleb Williams, we talked about at the top of the show, just like words of encouragement. And words of like, hey, like, I know today may not have been your best day out there, but like, you are getting somewhere with it. Like, that's important. That's important to like emphasize that and make sure you're hearing that, so you know, like, not everything was terrible, even if it didn't look great.
Yeah. And it's that voice of reason letting him know you're not alone. I thought that it was very interesting in the press as well, talking about, how everybody was frustrated out there. It wasn't just Caleb who was frustrated. Like, the guys who have done this for years, they know it's OTAs, but there's an expectation that they have on themselves to go out there and be successful. So they're frustrated as well. But DJ coming over and calming them down, I thought that it even went further to that point when he talked about how Shane's system is complex, but it's very detailed. So it's going to take some time to get this thing perfect. That's why I say, right, like, and I think people almost forget, and this happened last year too. You forget that both of the teams that we watched today are our team. You forget that both of them are the Bears. Like, the defense that shut down the offense today is our defense. Like, that to me is the most important part of this, because it is going to take time for everybody to get on the same page. There's a lot of moving parts that changed this offseason. And you got to get all of that moving in the same direction at the same time. That may not happen by week one versus the Titans. I hope it happens, but it may not. But the fact that you can look at one unit and say, yeah, they're there, they're going to continue to get better as well, but there's really some good things that we saw from that unit today. That's a good thing. And that's something that I think Bears fans should be excited about. You shouldn't look at today as a negative day. If anything, to me, this is how, like, and I'm not saying that this is the same team, but this is how, when you heard Thomas Jones or when you hear Jason McKee on Wednesdays talk about the 06 team, why were they able to run the football so well against everybody else? Because they had to go up against the best freaking defense in the NFL every single week at practice. And that was a very different practice back then.
Yeah. And like, I think about some of the examples we've seen throughout like the years. Like, remember when Baker Mayfield, after he like got to Carolina And, you know, once that whole thing went through, I think he was traded. I can't remember. I believe he was. Yeah, he was traded there from Cleveland. And he had a couple really bad practices and a couple like moments that went viral of just like bad throws that he, you know, made in practice. Look at where he's at now. Like, I think we need to like stop picking apart every little thing that guys do in training camp practices. And even right now in OTAs where they're at 50% speed, that they're not going full speed. They don't have pads on. Sometimes when they're doing walkthrough, they're not even wearing helmets. Like, it's just keeping those things in perspective. Like, this time of year, I think what you hear from press conferences and what you hear about the growth behind the scenes and the classroom work is arguably more important than what they're doing on grass at moments, because that's where you're learning. That's where you're, and of course you take it to the field and you apply it, but that's where you can tell like the how cerebral a player is by the questions that they ask and by how much they're able to retain and then repeat back or execute the next day. And it may not look perfect, but this is the time to get the kinks out. Don't you think you'd rather do that now versus a couple of months from now? And I'll even one more thing. Like last year, right before mandatory minicamp broke, you know what we heard from Justin Fields and DJ Moore? Wow, this chemistry came on faster than I thought it would. You know how long it took that chemistry to come on or to even like show itself? 5 weeks into the season.
Yep.
Okay. So like, don't, you know, I know that this is our job. These are our jobs and we have to like watch this. We have to dissect it. You have to like tell everybody that certain things matter more than the other. But right now it's about themes and taking away their practice habits, taking away who's here and who's not here. Because I personally think that does matter. I do think that guys have stuff like, you know, Keenan Allen and apparently birthday parties for like his wife and his daughter. And yeah, his life is in California. He played for 11 seasons
which
out there.
I don't know. Totally fine. Not the good job. I don't know if DJ was supposed to say that, but thank you for saying that so that we did not have to go through 5 days of like, well, is he holding out? Is he upset about a 1 year deal?
Of course. Like that's always going to like spiral, or people are going to spiral about things like that. I do think, oh God, I don't want to be this person, but like, I do think that there are certain players, like if you're a bubble guy, you should be it. Like, unless there is something. And again, we don't know, this is voluntary. I just think in the general theme, if you're somebody who's a roster bubble person, you should be at every single one of these. Now, Flus did say that every player has been there at some point. I do believe that in one of the videos that the team put out, didn't they show Keenan Allen?
The video where Caleb is throwing all the receivers, Keenan Allen was in there, Velus Jones was in there, DJ Moore was in there. So everybody's been here.
It's just, you know, if there's any sort of like question mark or eyebrow raiser, it would be if anybody doesn't show up for mandatory camp. But like, this is a time of year where most guys come in and then they leave after OTAs are over and then they come back. This is just your time to get familiar with your teammates, to build that sort of nonverbal communication that can really help you out later on. For a quarterback, though, I do think it's important that he's got Keenan Allen here. And I would imagine that he'll be back. Like, it doesn't sound like this is like a thing at all. It's just, you know, all eyes are going to be on, you know, who are your security blankets becoming in this offense? Very clearly, I mean, DJ was very involved today, very vocal today. And that's important, I believe, for a young quarterback. As much as Roma Dunze and him are probably going to be, like, simpatico, like, the entire way and just, like, on the same trajectory, to have that older guy who's done this with, like, 9 quarterbacks now, probably really good to have him as you know, kind of the voice of reason and, you know, maybe even like a North Star to a degree for Caleb Williams.
No, for sure. I'm very excited about it. Like I've said, I'm excited about what this team is building up. There's a lot of good on this team. And today was another day of growth for him. And let's keep that growth going. Before we get up out of here, Courtney, just some quick things to hit on. We got an update on Roma Dunze. I don't know if it was a major update, but we got a little bit of an update on him that he is expected to be back next week. Do we kind of know where or when that's going to happen, or is that just kind of some point?
I mean, he's in a ramp up period right now. So what's encouraging there, we last saw him not practicing at rookie camp because of, I think it's just like there's precautionary hamstring tightness or something.
Hamstring tightness, not even a pull.
Yeah. So it's not like he tweaked it. It's not, you know, but I'll use this as an example. I was covering Chiefs camp yesterday and Xavier Worthy tweaked his hamstring And they held him out for yesterday, and I would imagine for most of the week as well. It's May. These guys are going to get hundreds upon hundreds of reps at any point from now until, you know, they start practicing for week one. So it's better to be safe than sorry, but it is an encouraging sign to hear from Eberflus that they're, you know, because it did kind of look like he was doing more. Like there were times where he didn't stretch with his group today, but he was by the bikes, by like the exercise bikes. And then he did some stuff during walkthrough, and was, you know, kind of at jogging speed. So that's a good sign. But I would imagine that they're very happy that like they can report that like, hey, we're trying to get him up to full speed. It's looking like it's going that way. And, you know, I'm sure they want to see what he's going to contribute to this offense other than what they know about him and what they believe he will. Like, to get to see him start to get incorporated into things will, you know, help them feel good about it, where this offense is at before they all leave for summer.
And let's be honest, with how this offense hides the severity of injuries so often, the fact that they're saying that he's ramping up probably means he's 210% healthy, and they're just holding him out at this point. Last thing, Courtney, appreciate you guys tuning in, showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page if you have not done so. Leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Finally got a chance to kind of see the new kickoff rules get instituted out there. What are your thoughts on the kickoff rules? And Is it concerning that I'm not gonna make a Velus Jones joke. Never mind, because people would take.
But like we were all like looking back there, being like, is he here? Is he here?
He was not there. There was no Velus Jones there today.
Yeah, I mean that could be a very. What I go back a couple of weeks, what Richard Hightower said, I believe he called him like a burner or like turns the Jets on, like just I'm paraphrasing, but he said something about his speed where it's like okay, you can tell. These guys all have to basically be frozen until the ball touches the returner and then they can move. It's cool to see it. I keep thinking, because I saw this yesterday when I was in Kansas City, and that was like my first time getting to watch the vets do this. It was a little different. Like the rookies are like, what the hell is this at rookie mini camp when they're trying to like execute this? And there's going to be some bumps and bruises along the way. I hope nobody screws it up during a game and like gets like a penalty for moving, but it's, as much as this was kind of a questionable thing, I think it actually is going to be pretty fun to watch how this gets incorporated into the game because of where the play is starting. So you're not going to have all these stupid touchbacks that nobody likes anyways, and giving your returners a chance to your receivers, your cornerbacks, your fifth, the fifth guy in the depth chart at those positions, maybe your fourth running back, like giving them a chance to actually kind of earn their keep here on kickoff is a good way to justify a roster spot.
Man, I'm telling you this right now. It is interesting. I've seen a couple of games. I saw it a couple of times in the XFL. I'm not going to sit here and act like I've watched a UFL game this year. I have not tapped in. But I saw it a couple of times in the XFL last year. When I tell you one block opens up so much, like NFL.
Recreating the wedge. It's insane. Yeah. Like the thought of it. But I mean, that's what they voted on.
It's gonna be kind of crazy to see in a real NFL game, but I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm excited to see if this is what makes Velus Jones the star of our city here. Yeah, maybe there's a chance that this was a masterful move by Poles, played a Jedi mind trick on everybody. He's like, I knew this was coming 2 years ago, Velus Jones. we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, but it's a good opportunity for him to get out there and to show. Like, this is a very crowded receiver room. And again, just to kind of put a bow on it, what DJ Moore said about it is going to be a race to 1,000. That's the mindset these guys have, because you actually have depth beyond your number one. Like, you have three number ones.
Yeah.
And then you've got a bunch of other guys who, if they keep six, are going to be fighting to justify why they deserve to be on this team. And special teams, returnability, that's going to be a huge portion like the makeup of why, of like how many they keep on the roster.
Yeah, it's probably locked. I mean, you would think Tyler Scott's going to be there because of where he was drafted at. Mm-hmm. Velus seems to have immunity, so he's probably going to be there. Who's going to get that? Who's going to get that final spot? We'll see who it ends up being. It's a good situation to be in for the Chicago Bears, and I'm glad that we're finally here now. Courtney, appreciate you coming on. I know this has been a long day for both of us, and we're glad to finally be done with this day. Tomorrow's a new day, and we'll be back at it, though. Me and Yurko tomorrow on the Daily Show. If you have any questions that you want Yurko to answer, tweet them under at ESPN 1000 or at Pat the Designer. Either one, we'll be doing that tomorrow. Mailbag episode for you guys. So tap in with us on that. For Courtney Cronin, it is your boy Pat the Designer back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down, one love. Peace.